Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 75 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
And we have a special guest today, and this is going to be a very special edition of Wrinkled Not Dead, in that we're going to suspend all of our usual fun stuff and move on to a very serious topic this week. And to do that, we've got a very special guest indeed, Cookie Lupacini, who's a longtime neighbor of ours. And we've known her for some years now, but she's undergone a very serious situation. And this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we want to talk about it. And so welcome to the show, Cookie. It's nice to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're outside today
in
the beautiful sunshine in Southern California. And so if you hear people walking around with their dogs or any extraneous weird sounds,
birds
chirping, which is always a welcome thing. So that's what we're up to. So we sent you some questions, Cookie, about your situation and how you can help others to learn more about your personal journey. And if we can ask those questions of you now and get the answers that I know are going to be wonderful from you, then I think all of our listeners are going to be very happy to hear.
Well, I'm excited.
Excellent.
So,
great.
Cookie, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, and how did you come to live where you are now?
Oh, well, we'll just, I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
I was...
At our age, there is no short version.
Well, this will explain it.
Okay,
I was born in 1953.
Okay.
And to Italian immigrants, my mother and father, and I am first generation in this country, they settled in central Pennsylvania, where I was born, between Harrisburg and Hershey. And it was a great childhood. I am one of four with my mother. And so I could jump ahead and tell you that how I got to where I am today. But I'd like to say that when I was five, my mother became very ill.
Oh, dear.
And like I said, I was one of four, and I was number three. And she gave birth to my youngest brother while she was ill. And it came to be that she had cancer. And after 5 years of fighting it, it took her life in 1964. So, you know, back then it was just like, oh, wow. But she was one of 11. And there were eight daughters. And she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, which led to breast cancer, which led to brain cancer, which led to lung, which took her. Shortly after, one by one, all her sisters and three brothers were not well. And so time went on. It's early. You know, medicine is, you know, it was still very primitive for those issues. But anyway, at that point, we got on with our lives until the 70s. And we were approached by the National Institute of Health because our family had such a high incident. And now the children were getting sick.
And
the offspring.
And all cancer, may I ask?
All cancer.
Okay.
And the men were getting prostate and pancreatic cancer and leukemia.
Wow.
And children were getting brain cancer. And so we agreed to help the NIH and started going there and giving them our blood. And at that point, at UC Berkeley, a fabulous woman, a professor, a doctor, she came up with DNA testing for breast cancer.
Wow.
Which opened everything. And that was in the mid-70s. And so along the way, they kept taking our blood. And in 2001, it was determined that everyone in our family who passed passed from BRCA2.
And that is?
BRCA2 is a gene that's inherited. It's a ovarian breast cancer, breast fallopian tube marker.
Okay.
And there's also BRCA1, which is very similar. It may not affect the breasts as much, but it will go after the ovaries in a woman, and it goes after the prostate in men.
Uh-huh. I didn't realize. I thought it was only for women, those testing things.
Oh,
so it's
well,
for
here,
men too.
This story gets better.
Wow.
They figured out who the carrier was. And it was my mother's father.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. People think it's only women.
Yes.
It's not.
Gosh.
Yeah. And so that was really enlightening for our whole family.
Yeah,
now
I'm
all
sure.
The males are, you know, running to get their blood tested.
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, it came to the point in the early 2000s where I was to go back and be tested again now that they knew they could detect it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go. My daughter went. I have one child, and she's a female, and she was getting ready to thinking of her future and marriage and children, and do I have this gene? And, you know, I should know that before I start a family.
Smart.
Well, she did, and she was negative.
Oh.
So I thought.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, thank you. Thank you, God. And I thought, well, I don't need to go. If she's negative, I must be.
So basically, you put your head in the sand.
I did.
Yeah.
I just, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah,
and you
well,
had your life to live, and you had things to do, and
I
you were
was
busy.
Very active. I was working, believe it or not, and I still am, for the doctor who discovered gene splicing from UCSF and founded Genentech. And he's the reason why this testing came about.
Wow.
So it all went full circle.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2015, I was well. I'm not sick. I never had cancer. I'm feeling well. I don't have that gene because it should surface some sign of it in your 30s. Well, I'm 60 at that point. So I switched doctors because I'm just not happy with my same OBGYN. And I moved on to a fabulous woman at Scripps here in La Jolla. And she looked at my family history and she said, have you been checked? And I said, no, my daughter was checked. She was negative. And she immediately took out her pad and scribbled, and she just said, go downstairs to the lab right now. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3 weeks later, I get a call.
Three weeks it took?
Well, it has to go to Mary, I think it's called Marietta. There's only one lab in Utah that does that testing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
So it's very specific.
It's very specific.
Okay.
So I was getting ready for work. The phone rings. It's her. She goes, hi, Cookie. Are you someplace where you can talk?
Oh, dear. Did you know?
Right. Of course.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It was like, wow. And I said, yeah, I am. She goes, you're positive. So what do you do with that in that moment? It's a sting. It's shocking. It's everything. It's like my future. It's like, do I wait for it or do I get proactive? So after informing my family, I made the decision within days to get rid of those parts of my body before they got me. So I immediately signed up, had a complete hysterectomy. 3 months later, a double mastectomy, followed by 4 reconstructions. And they found not one cancer cell.
Oh,
my God. So how did you feel when you did this?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you make a decision like that. Don't get inside your head. Just take care of business. Look around. What's important? Your body doesn't define you. You know that. You're looking at your family. You're looking at your grandchildren, and you're going, I'm not ready. And if I can beat this, I will. I'll move forward. So I'm on the other side now.
Right.
And but it took 2.5 years, and it was worth every moment. And I'd like to let women and men know that if you can't do it, if you're scared, it's okay. It's just, how lucky are we to be able to know that we have a choice? We can wait for it, or we can get rid of it. Well, I noticed a lot of my cousins waited, and I saw their journey. And that was another window into, what do I want to do with this? So now I'm on the other side, and I'm just such a lucky girl. I will not take this for granted, that I had an opportunity and a window into my future to get ahead of things. And that's kind of how I got here. Now, as far as how I got to San Diego, that's a whole nother story. I started in Pennsylvania and did a lot of living in between, and it all worked out beautifully. So here I am. And
let me ask you this. When you, first of all, everybody's saying, okay, if cancer doesn't run in my family, should I still go get that genetic testing, that marker test? And can you? Do they offer that?
I would say you don't need that genetic testing unless there's an incident of a certain cancer in your family that keeps happening, whether, you know, from in generations, and, you know, like men will say, oh, my dad had prostate cancer, now I have prostate cancer, and, oh, and my cousin has prostate. Well, I would say you need some blood work done. Now, as far as getting tested, if you have a family of high incidence, it's covered. It's all, this is covered. If you're just curious, it's out of pocket right now. But I've just heard recently that, and it just came out, it's not, you don't have to do a blood test anymore. You can do a saliva test.
Oh, my
really?
God. So,
and this is within the last month or two.
Wow. So that would be less expensive, correct?
Oh, I would say so. I mean, look how people just swab their DNA to find out their heritage.
Yes.
It's $100.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how more involved it would be as far as finding markers for your cell structure, but I would say it most definitely is becoming affordable.
So when you go backing a bit, when you heard that you had the mark, that did everything kind of stop?
And
did you panic, and did you think, oh my God, I'm going to die? I mean, did all those crazy thoughts go through your mind, or did you keep positive?
I didn't feel anything. I was numb. I didn't realize the impact until I called my daughter and I told her, and she started sobbing, and she was holding one of her children, and I went, oh my goodness. Yeah, this is big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did it change how you looked at your life and the world kind of at this point? Did you say, all right, here I am?
I felt like I had an opportunity to be an advocate, to be strong, and a voice. And no matter what the outcome was, I was going to share this with anyone who would listen, even, you know, just somebody, a total stranger. I would share my experience. And here I am with the two of you.
And you look wonderful and healthy. Now, going through these surgeries, so let's say somebody has a genetic marker and they say, okay, I'm going to do what Cookie did. Okay, the surgeries aren't easy. How did you get through those?
You know, maybe I wear rose-colored glasses all the time, but I wake up every day with hope, even on the worst of days. I know that things don't last. Things always get better. No matter what the outcome, there's good that comes from it. And I really had to stay inside instead of poor me, you know, taking off my clothes to get into the shower and going, this is hideous. And now I look at myself and I'm going, I am stunning.
Good for you. And you are stunning.
You are.
Inside and out.
With all my imperfections. But what is imperfect? What?
Yeah.
Like, does a scar make you less? I don't think so.
I think it makes you more interesting.
It makes you whole. It
yes.
makes you, this is my journey. This is my story mm-hmm. to tell. And these are residuals from it. This is what you get when you tell that story. And I'm happy to tell it. And I do it all over again. I would not think twice.
When you were going through the surgeries and going through the reconstruction and you were convalescing, recovering, let's say, did you go into a depression?
No, it's interesting. And it's kind of weird. You would think I would have. I just started looking around and going, oh, I can walk the dog today. Oh, it's so nice out. Oh, so-and-so brought me some. I mean, I just felt like it was just something that was given to me, and I was not going to let it get the best of me. I knew, especially knowing that they found nothing, that all I had to do was recover. And I felt blessed that I didn't have to follow up with chemotherapy and radiation, as most women do when they find out they have breast cancer or ovarian cancer, and also are BRCA1 or 2, and they waited. And I just would like to encourage anyone who has to deal with this, and they're not sick, but know that they have this, go take care of it. It's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It's a total no-brainer.
Let me ask you this. Did you experience anything from your coworkers or your family that,
You mean my cheerleaders?
I'm going to put it a different way. Did anybody ever kind of shy away from you in fear that it might be catching and you might
or they can't face what you're going through?
No, they treated me just like they would on any other day. Maybe it was my attitude. I wasn't looking for sympathy.
Okay.
I wasn't looking at, I'm so scared. I'm so lonely. Of course I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wouldn't let it get me.
Tell our listeners, how do you dig down? If somebody's where you are right now and they have the marker and they're just going to go in for surgery, how do they just get that strength and keep that positive attitude that you had through all of this?
Let go.
Let
it go. It's out of your control. Hand it over. Surrender. that you're in the hands of someone who wants to make you better.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah. I never thought of that because we're always struggling. We're always trying
to
fight
scared.
It. And, you know, just listening to this gives me chills. My aunt had breast cancer. Do I go for the genetic marker? I guess I should. And not be afraid to do that.
Confront it.
Well, that's another thing. So many people don't because they don't want to know.
They don't want to know.
No. I wanted to know. I mean, I did have my head in the sand for a while.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, I didn't pass it on. So she did. But it was 50-50. I mean, she's half me, she's half her father.
Yeah.
And, but when I did, oh, it was, like I said, it was so easy. And maybe that's me. Like I said, my glass is always half full. And it's going to take, something's really going to have to hit me over the head to get my attention.
Well, you're just a positive person in nature. Like, just usually, you're very positive. But it sounds like you had a very good support system, too, with your work, with your coworkers, with your family, your daughter.
Oh, and working for a geneticist?
Yeah.
He just looked at me and said, girl, you get yourself in there. And he was... He had no concerns. He was grateful that test is out there.
That's what I was going to say. If that test could be for other, other
cancers.
Oh,
it's only going to get better.
Would that not be fabulous?
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you know that you're predisposed and you have an opportunity, why would you turn your back on it?
You just shouldn't. You just can't.
No.
You just don't.
You don't
want to do that.
I mean... You have a choice, and what? And then again, let's back up a little bit. Let's say someone just doesn't have it in them. That's okay too. Mm. They're aware.
Good
you
point.
Know, they are. They're aware. They with the way we can learn things today on the internet, they can do their homework and. They can either move forward or not, and I don't judge that. No one should judge that.
Mm-hmm. It just depends upon how they want to live their life, and that's okay, is
exactly.
What you're saying.
Look, yeah. How meaningful is it for you, and how necessary is it for you to not want to miss a thing if you have the opportunity to live just a little longer.
A little longer. And I have to say you're lucky that you had this journey as opposed to those who, you said, actually get breast cancer, who actually get ovarian cancer. Because I think the tough part about cancer is perhaps not the surgery. For me, when all my friends that have had breast cancer is the radiation and losing their hair.
It's hideous.
That is the tough part.
It's hard. But chemo. I already thought about that, too.
Because you've got the most... listeners,
well, can you imagine me with no hair?
Cookie has the most gorgeous long dark hair down to her waist almost.
Yeah,
beautiful hair.
Always has.
But I have a friend who had breast cancer and she had hair like yours and she had to go through chemo and radiation and a mastectomy and it was a tough journey for her too. It's a horrible journey.
It's horrible.
But at the other end, she says life is sweeter.
Oh,
like you said, something comes out of this.
Let me tell you. I didn't know that I could ever be this content with just the simplest things.
So your priorities have been shuffled.
Oh,
huh?
So different.
What's important to you now?
My home, my family, my dog.
And dogs. Here.
My grandchildren.
Hi, dog.
who I can feed today. I love to cook. My successes. Just really taking a step back and going, the rest is just, a cherry on top. It's very different now.
So are you glad this happened to you?
I'm glad... that I knew Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I had a choice. And I feel really lucky that I know this and that I could take care of this. I'm fine. You know, you take what you get, you know. Life is so interesting. How people react, how any of us react, no two are the same. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is, whoever's around you and needs to talk, whether it's how you would handle it or not, make it safe for them. Let them talk. Let them be scared. Let them hold their hand when they say, you know, I think I want to do something about this. Drive them there. Take them there. Show up. And, I'm fine. I really am. I mean, I am better than fine.
I think this happened to you because you need to be a voice and you need to give this message out to everybody. Because not only, Cookie, is it a scary thing for people, but you've made it okay for them to say, I'm scared, but you know what? Good is going to come out of this. One way or another, good is going to come out of this. And if anything, I know I'm going to go for the genetic marker. What the heck? Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Why not be proactive?
And what if it's positive?
I will do what needs to be done.
There you go.
I'm one of those people that I want to be in control of my life, not have cancer be in control of me. And I think that's the thing, taking control of your life. And no matter where you are, if it's not a health issue, if it's financial issue, mm-hmm. just take control, but understand that life is the little things, like walking your beautiful little dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have one last thing. How is your health now? And what are your plans for the future?
Well, I was never sick.
So you're great. Everything is fine.
I never was sick.
That's the irony.
You came through all the surgeries without any side effects.
I got an infection and I was hospitalized for that. But I mean, because of one of the incisions. But I was never sick. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have cancer. I've got to have this, this, and this done. And back up a second. One of the mm-hmm. one thing that my breast surgeon said to me as they were wheeling me in and my daughter was with me, she said, you know, Cookie, if I find one cell, this outcome will look different. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And I just let that one go, too. Because I thought, well, if I have cancer, first thing I did think of, Jennifer, was my hair.
Every woman does.
But then I thought, oh, well, then I'll wear a wig. Oh, I've been a brunette all my life. Maybe I'll buy a blonde wig. You know, I just started thinking,
wow.
I'll just shake it up right along with it. But
there's the essential
future,
cookie right there.
Exactly. But that, yeah.
That's that diva in me.
I'm afraid so.
But my health is excellent.
Good.
There's nothing wrong. Except for little aches and pains, you know, like a bunion. And my plans for the future? I'm single. I live alone. I have for many, many years. And I was just pretty robotic for a long time. Being my vocation was my family and my job. I didn't step out of those perimeters too far. And, now I'm looking around and I'm going, asking, you know, a girlfriend, would you like to go, you know, to Mexico for a long weekend?
Oh, wow.
Something I just never kind of, I thought I live in paradise. Why don't, you know, it's beautiful. But no, I want to step back out and see the world more. I want to take risks. I would like, I think I'm open to falling in love again. I just feel like there's a lot that we'll never be able to check off. And because of this opportunity, I'm going to speed things up a little bit.
What I like, Cookie, is you call this an opportunity, and you've given those who are listening today hope. You've given them drive to go and do something, to grab life and do what needs to be done, whether they get the testing or they don't, but live life. And we have a blog called wrinklednotdead.com. If they have any questions, may I have them ask us? We can pass them on to you.
Absolutely.
And those who are afraid, could you give them more advice?
Absolutely. That would, my arms are wide open.
Wonderful. Cookie, I love you. You're amazing. Thank you for being here today and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Are an inspiration to me and to everyone listening.
Thank you so much. Jen Bell and Cookie Lupacini, episode 75 of Wrinkled, Not Dead.